This morning, I have been led to reconnect us once again to Isaiah 11 and 2. The word spoken by the prophet says unto us that, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Amen. May God bless us to hear and comprehend his word so that we may apply it to our lives to move from victory to a greater glory to be revealed in us. As we continue to focus, family, on evolving and transforming into the image and likeness of the Son of God, and to radiate with the beauty of holiness, I really would like for our attention to be drawn to this word, understanding. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And the thought that has come to me to deliver in this hour and in this era of revival is simply, don't stand down. Understand. Don't stand down. Understand. Family was a word that was used in a conversation I had with Sister Annette a week or so ago. And the word is shift. And that word shift has really, been further amplified in my life, shift. And family, we need to shift our mental acuity. And we need to shift and move in the direction of wisdom and understanding. If that means that you need to go see your doctor, we need to shift. If that means you need to go see your eye doctor, we need to shift. If that means that you need to really think about debt cancellation, we need to shift. If that means that you need to come out of certain relationships, right? Certain environments that are not promoting your well-being, we need to shift. We need to shift. And we need to move from being held hostage to these phrases, the phrase of, I don't know. We need to move from this phrase of, I don't care. And sometimes we may not say it, but we may exemplify it in our actions. We need to move from I don't know to, Lord, give me wisdom and understanding to know what I don't know. Because ignorance kills. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But today we are to shift. We need to renew our mind. And we need to understand that there is a part of our maturity that comes about when we apply a righteous check and balance to the issues of our life. I don't know, healed. I don't care, healed. Rejecting knowledge is to voluntarily abdicate and forfeit our rights and privileges to have life and life more abundantly. What we reap is inextricably linked to what we sow. We reap what we sow, we reap what we eat, and we reap what we think. As a man, as a woman thinks, so they are. And I want to encourage you, all the things that we read, all the scriptures that we read, I want to encourage all of us to read at least one verse from the book of Proverbs. Just one proverb that will enhance our wisdom and understanding. Too often, we are religiously deep. We can repeat this verse and that verse. We can sing this song and that song. We can be blessed by this sermon and that sermon. We can be religiously deep. We can be denominationally puffed up. But when it comes down to it, when we look at the quality of our lives, we tend to reflect shallow common sense. Understanding is about common sense, family. And Proverbs 4:7 reminds us, I hope you're listening with me this morning. Proverbs 4:7 reminds us that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. God is not anti-intelligence. And family, we can no longer speak over our lives. We can no longer be held hostage by I don't care and I don't know. God has called us to care, and he has called us to know and understand what is going on inside of us as well as what's going on around us. And family, on a practical tip, we need to read everything. We need to read everything. We may not agree with everything, but we need to read everything that God lays in front of us. Don't be afraid to read. That's how we get to the part of study. You can't study without reading first. So let's read. And don't reject knowledge by not reading. Don't reject understanding by the failure to actively and intelligently comprehend what we read. Understanding means to distinguish things in our own mind. To understand means to perceive and to discern. To understand, and don't get me wrong now, to understand does not mean that we jump to a conclusion, but it is the ability to understand what's going on behind the scenes. In other words, to understand is the ability to connect the dots, if you will, and to comprehend what's really going on. It reminds me of an example. Experience I had some 7 years ago, a friend of mine, a colleague, asked me about my experiences at FAMU. I gave him a response, and after I gave him my response, he accused me of being too noble. And then he told me this. He said, the answer is money. Now what's the question? The answer is money. Now what's the question? And basically what he was saying was, Avery, stop being too deep. What motivated those things was money. Too often, we are being too deep, and we attempt to avoid the very obvious because God has given us the spirit of discernment to really know what's happening behind the scenes. Too often, we are being too deep and denying God's gift to us to understand and to rightfully discern what's going on, once again, inside of us and what is going on around us. So today, if we hear his voice and we don't harden our hearts, I believe that God is calling us once again to stop giving people the benefit of the doubt. Stop giving people the benefit of the doubt. There is no biblical mandate for me or for you to give people the benefit of the doubt. In fact, the word commands us to do the exact opposite and to use our understanding to discern and distinguish between truth and error, between truth and error. John wrote about it, the beloved disciple, in his first epistle, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, the beloved disciple writes, beloved, here we go now. Don't give people the benefit of the doubt. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now, already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God does not hear us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that is loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. She that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Here is it. Was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Again, not trying to be deep. We're just trying to be practical. And I go back to this. If it ain't love, it ain't God. Because God is love. And here are some things for us, family, to understand and to discern as we think about love, our love for God and our love for ourselves and our love for each other. People who love you don't take advantage of you. People who love you don't put you down. People who love you don't have to be paid to do something for you. People who love you do so because they want to and not because they have to. If it ain't love, it ain't God, because God is love. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. And people, hallelujah, who love you don't try to manipulate you under the false pretense and the false guise of a so-called prophetic word. Family in this hour, I can hear the word. And when the word comes, a warning. Don't stand down. Don't stand down. Don't get there when you're saying, I don't know and I don't care. Don't stand down. But understand, proceed, discern, peek behind the scene, connect the dots, and understand that there are many false prophets out there, family, who want to declare and decree, declare a prophetic word. And it amazes me that all these people who want to declare and decree and decree and declare a prophetic word are the same people who don't even appear to read the word of God, to see that God was in Christ reconciling us back unto himself. They don't even appear to read the word of God, much less study the word of God, to rightly divide the word of truth. But in the spirit of caution, I believe that the Holy Spirit is imploring each of us to consider again what John has already written. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. You got to get some understanding. Try the spirit. Peek behind the spirit. things. Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets, many false prophetesses are going out into the world, the very place, the very moment that the people of God need to say that the devil is a liar, is at the door of every fortune teller masquerading himself as a prophet in the church. Every fortune teller masquerading and cloaking herself as a prophetess in the church. But the Lord is saying, don't stand down. But understand that those who are filled with the Holy Spirit don't need to have no prophet or prophetess speaking over their lives. We who are filled and being filled, ain't a one-time thing. I had to gas up yesterday. We who are filled with the Holy Ghost have someone more powerful than a prophet, a prophetess. Listen here to what the Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning at verse 13 and 14. Howbeit, thank God for the Holy Ghost, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, and he will show you things to come, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Ghost, family, I hope you're listening with me this morning. The Holy Ghost will guide us into all truth. The Holy Ghost will show us things to come. The Holy Ghost will do all of that. And check this out. The Father and the Lord Jesus have made it possible that the Holy Ghost will do all of that. We can get this advance in faith for free. Hallelujah. For free. For free. For free. For free. You don't have to pay God for his gifts. You don't have to stand in a $50 line, the $100 line, to be blessed with a prophetic word. The Holy Ghost will show you things, hallelujah, things to come. Lord Jesus has already paid the price. He paid the price for our salvation. He has paid the price for our redemption. He has paid the price for our transformation. He has canceled the debt for our sins. The hymn would say, Jesus paid it all. Oh, him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it. White. And so, and because of this amazing grace of God, when this amazing grace of God has come into and over our lives, even when we ain't feeling it, hallelujah, thank God that we can be filled with the Holy Ghost to do greater works. Even when we ain't feeling, that's F-E-E-L-I-N-G, when we ain't feeling it, we can be F-I-L-A with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Romans 8 reminds us that even when we ain't feeling it, we have a helper. And Paul said it like this in verse 26 through 32 of Romans 8. He said, likewise, also helps our infirmity. But we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of Christ, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. And then verse 28. Oh, I love this one. And we know that all things, when I ain't feeling it, and we know that all things work together. I don't care about what's going on your job right now. And we know that all things work together for good. Hallelujah. I'm when people are tripping at your church. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Hallelujah. To them who are because according to his purpose. And power right on. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. Hallelujah. To the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, the firstborn among many sisters, and moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And Paul goes on to say, what shall we then say to thee? I'm talking about the people on your job right now. What shall we then say to these things? I'm talking about that debt that's about to drive you crazy. What shall we then say to these things? I know what the doctors just told me.
Come on,
hallelujah,
now.
But what shall we say to these things? If God, hallelujah, 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 if God before if God, hallelujah,
come on.
Be for us, who can be against us?
Come on.
How do we know that, lawyer, Jesus, preacher? Ah, we know that because he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also
Amen.